G3. The Model of Being and Its Universal Laws. Number 14B.
All right. One of the very nice indications we have in the sixth chapter, right on the first page of that sixth chapter, which is on page 107, where she says that through Christian Science, religion, that's an application, a field of application, and medicine, that's another field of application, are inspired with a diviner nature and essence. So you can see, comma, fresh pinions are given to faith and understanding, and thought acquaints itself intelligently with God. It's a terrific statement when one doesn't read it, but when one ponders it, it includes so much in one sentence. It says, all right, if we have Christian Science, if we have that holistic sense of being, then through that holistic sense of being, the science of medicine, the science of religion or theology, will be inspired by it. It shows that if we have a higher sense of science, the one science, the proto-science, that gives to the other sciences an more inspired sense with a diviner nature and essence. It gives to that same field a diviner essence and a diviner nature. It gives to those various fields fresh pinions, for are given to faith and understanding, namely so that thought acquaints itself intelligently with God, so that all those fields are one with the whole, so that all those fields are not separate fields that tell something in an isolated way and say, here I tell you what medicine is, and what medicine is has nothing to do whatsoever with theology. And what theology tells has nothing to do whatsoever with physics. And what I tell you about physics has nothing to do whatsoever with biology. Said, no. So that thought acquaints itself intelligently with God. So that the thought that is necessary, the understanding of every field is the same thing, namely it's thinking about the same thing, namely the unity with God. That these various faculties, departments of universities will all have a same common principle, the principle God. On page 128 of the same chapter, then she gives an indication of what happens under these circumstances. Why this one science can do something to all the other sciences? Because we need all the other sciences. As long as we are not angels floating around on heaven and playing the harp and are still here, we need the other sciences. So there must be an answer to them. So she says, Christian Science does what? And again she shows what will the impact on the other fields of human activity. It says in one paragraph, says it enhances businessmen. So you come to business. You come really to economy. It says it enhances economy. There should be a divine economy that regulates our economy, which is in bad state. So it enhances businessmen, but it also enhances cultured scholars. It enhances endurance and mental powers. It enlarges their perceptions of character. It gives them acuteness and comprehensiveness. The ability to exceed their ordinary capacity. Can you see how it builds up the understanding of every field. The human mind becomes more elastic, is capable of greater endurance, requires less repose, that would be nice, develops the latent abilities and possibilities of men, extends the atmosphere of thought, gives mortal access to broader and higher realms. It raises the thinker into his native air of insight and perspicacity. It only leads, as she says, to the adoption of scientific religion, where you know that science and Christianity are one. Well, what is Christianity? Christianity is nothing but applied sciences. If we have the one theoretical science, the principle of science, the holistic principle of science, and translate it to the human field, then it gives to the human more understanding, higher motives, more endurance, and whatever is being said here, in order that we can see a higher sense of all these sciences. So that science and Christianity, theoretical science and practical science, are one. Or, in order to show the same thing from another angle, let me quote from the 10th chapter, the first paragraph from the 10th chapter, which gives us also a clue, a very big clue. It says, in the material world, so she starts out with our material world with all the various sciences. Thought has brought to light with great rapidity many useful wonders. We have seen that. We have seen that in every applied science, that it has brought forth many useful wonders. Whatever the gadgets are, they were very useful. And the whole house is full of gadgets, and the kitchen is full of gadgets, and they are very useful. These are all useful wonders. But, she says, with like activity have thought's swift pinions been rising towards the realm of the real. Now she compares the useful wonders in the material world and compares them that with like activity parallel to it, there has been rising towards the realm of the real, to the spiritual cause. Now you come to the point. Rising to the spiritual cause, not to the material cause of those material wonders, but to the spiritual cause of those lower things which give impulse to inquiry. Shall I put it again in my words? She goes out and says, here we have a material world. That material world has been treated through many, many different sciences, and they have brought forth a terrific material success. Technology, industrialization, all the wonders of the material world they have brought forth. Well, has the material world brought forth these wonders or something else? Is there another cause? So she goes on and says, at the same time, parallel to it, happened something else. And that what happened besides it was also arising towards the realm of the real, also higher and higher wonders, but spiritual wonders, namely to the spiritual cause of what? Of the lower things, which have lower things which gave impulse to inquiry. Can you see what she said? Because thought has been rising to the spiritual cause, that translated itself to the point where people were inspired more, had more perspicacity, and therefore could find out more things in the material world and have brought forth all the material wonders. Again, it is so important, again, to understand that. Again, saying, look here. Here we start out in the material world, thought has brought forth material wonders, many useful material wonders. Are these wonders the effect of a material cause? And we would say, naturally, a material effect comes from a material cause. But she says, no, they come from a cause, from a spiritual cause of those lower things. Can you see how she resolves the whole thing? Without the consciousness of level, of dimension, this sentence makes no sense. Now you see why we were discussing the law of cause and effect. We are saying, well, the law of cause and effect is old science because it doesn't really exist. There is never a moment where suddenly out of nothing a cause arises and that cause gives an effect, and when that effect is here, that's the end of it. You remember? We said, no, such a thing doesn't exist in a holistic science. In a holistic science, a material cause that brings forth a material effect is actually never a material cause, because that material cause is the effect of predisposing causes. And that predisposing cause is the effect of a remote cause. And if you go further and further, you come to the point where we see that it is that every material cause is a misunderstanding of mind, because mind is the only... Didn't we see that through the whole textbook course, that mind is the only cause, that mind is the cause of all? Through the whole textbook course, that line, that matter is a misunderstanding of mind. So a material cause is a misunderstanding of the cause of the divine mind. And therefore, we must see that all those material causes that have brought forth all the technical wonders were only possible because behind it was also a spiritual cause at work, that cybernetic law at work, that says, I drive everything higher and higher and higher. And I can use for that even the material world. Because in a dimensional sense of being, we have not the spiritual world and the material world. We have only a spiritual world that evolves and a material world that evolves towards entropy, which is a taking away the restraints of matter. That's what happens. So that spiritual evolution is nothing else but that matter loses its characteristics, its qualities, until it has lost all its qualities, like the Cheshire Cat. Until there is a grin there, and then afterwards even the grin gets lost. Just think of matter, about the Cheshire Cat. That's matter. It disappears and disappears in the measure as the spiritual idea evolves. And therefore, she goes on and says, looking away from matter to mind, capital M, as the cause of every effect. That's quite new. See, to see that all these material wonders, of which she says that the material world has brought forth, in the same sentence goes on and says, but you must see that these are not wonders of matter, but that they are wonders of the disappearance of matter, because there is only one cause at work, mind, not matter. Only mind is cause. So, it's a bit difficult, is it? Or not? Hopefully not. But it's a terrific thing, because if we see that clearly, I think we can explain the Big Bang. And that would be a big thing. But we have to understand this first, so that we first see if there is only one world, and that one world, because it's one, it must be spiritual, Because only spirit is without limits. Spirit is infinite. Any other concept of a material world or of an energy world or anything like that is limited, has limitation. So it can't be the whole. If we have only one world, then we have only one cause, which is at the same time the one effect. Cause and effect being one. So mind, capital M, is the only cause and effect. But translated, now we come to the levels. Now translated down, 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 to a lower level of understanding, to that level of misunderstanding, we naturally see that spirit is, when misunderstood, appearing as matter. Or put it the other way around, matter is nothing else but spirit misunderstood. But misunderstanding must have its answer within the whole, or it would be something besides the whole, and we would have again a duality. It explains that old question, where does evil come from? As if evil had an origin outside the whole. There is no outside if there is a whole. You cannot even distinguish between inside and outside, because that alone is a duality. So these things you have to think through. And then really we begin to see that we should not quarrel with matter and with the material world, because all is mind. And if we understand that all is mind, then we have the wonders of mind. But if we don't understand mind and misunderstand mind, we have a material universe with all the various phenomena of the material universe. But it's one. There are not two realms. It's only a question of consciousness. I come back, the lens, the grid through which we look at the universe, that matters. There is the crux, and there lies the answer. So, as we come slowly out of the sixth, or come out of the 5,000-year period, where we are constantly engaged in the question, how does truth overcome error? How does life overcome death? How does truth overcome, or health overcome sickness? How does love overcome annihilation, and so on? We come out of that dualistic sense of trying to solve a dualism. We come out into the 6,000 and 7,000-year period, where we see that an understanding of spirit is the only understanding, and that understanding of spirit has no misunderstanding, and therefore has not even to deal with sin, sickness, and death. Not even to deal with it. So this is all is just now a question of divine altitude. There is not time left to touch on another subject. Well, how many minutes are left? Around about, huh?
7 minutes.
Okay. What shall I do with 7 minutes? It would be a pity to take up the next question. Was it clear what I was saying? Yes? Tell it some more, huh? That's the way out, huh? Yes. That's the way out. We have only one universe. And Mrs. Eddy sees that there is only one universe. But she sees that in that one universe we have quite a lot of differentiated fields of human experience, of human, and I even would say material experiences. Take, for instance, those that you are familiar with in the textbook, that we have materia medica, material drugs to heal. So there is material medicine. Does she consider material medicine as right? Does she consider medicine as right? Yes, the last is true. She considers medicine as right. She does not consider material medicine to be right. That's why in the part of the sixth chapter on medicine, she speaks constantly that divine mind is the medicine. Yes? And she says that is medicine. So medicine, that whole field of applied science, can either be viewed from a holistic standpoint, and then it's divine mind that is the medicine, the divine mind is the savior, the divine mind is that which helps us, it saves us, guides us, leads us, steers us. But if we misunderstand divine mind and don't take divine mind as the only cause, then we have a material medicine, which is a misunderstanding of the medicine of mind. So what I want to bring out, the common denominator in this case is medicine. That's the common denominator. And I can look at that coin from both sides. I can either understand it or misunderstand it. I can either take that medicine from a holistic standpoint, and then I take it from the standpoint of divine mind, yes, and then that medicine is divine. Or I can take it from the old science, which negates holism, and then I have a material medicine, and therefore she said, that's not right, that's erroneous. Not because she doesn't like medicine, but because she sees that matter is the opposite of a real science. You have obstetrics. Obstetrics is a field in human experience. So it is a field, say, of medicine. But she talks also about scientific obstetrics. So obstetrics by itself is a true idea. And you can take that true idea from a holistic point of view, and then we have scientific obstetrics or divine obstetrics, that whole paragraph on page 463. Or you can take it from the opposite vantage point, from a material standpoint, and you have obstetrics in the medical, from the medical point of view. You can take anatomy. She talks about anatomy. Well, anatomy, in the ordinary sense of things, is considered to have to do with bones and flesh and so on, material. But she also speaks about spiritual anatomy on page 462. So anatomy is not really that which is questioned. The adjective is questioned. Namely, is it spiritual anatomy or is it material anatomy? Can you see? The object is not questioned, anatomy. So that she speaks about spiritual anatomy. Or she talks about psychology. Well, psychology in the human sense of things has to do with the psyche and with all what goes wrong in one's psyche. And therefore we need all those psychiatrists and so on. They are very busy until they have to go to the psychiatrist. So we talk about psychology and feel, oh, psychology, woo. We don't want to have anything to do with psychology. Yeah, don't we have? Yes, we should. Namely, she speaks about the psychology of spirit. So again, you see, the subject, the applied the field of applied science is not under discussion. Under discussion is if that field is regarded from a holistic science point of view or from the opposite, from a material standpoint. Yes? And so it is with what we said, with all the material wonders. With all the wonders, wonders is okay. From where do they come? Are they coming from a material cause, or are they coming from a divine cause, spiritual cause? And she says, they all come from a spiritual cause, because there is only one cause, the divine mind. Yes? Can you see that? In this way, you see, Mrs. Eddy tries to resolve all the applied sciences. We have to have applied sciences. We have to live in a realm with all kinds of fields of activities. But her question, her point was, that's why this solution is again in the sixth chapter, namely that everything has to be translated back into spirit. Therefore we have those two translations in that sixth chapter. Because every field has to be retranslated back into the one cause. There is only one cause. No other cause. That cause, we can look through the glass darkly, and then we see the material phenomena. Or we can look through the glass that are absolutely transparent, and then we see the wonder of the spiritual. Okay, that's it.